Welcome to another episode of Rock the Boat with Richard Hagen here on Yachting International Radio, your weekly dose of boating industry news and opinions. This past week, on the 14th of May, the crew of a 60-foot fishing vessel narrowly escaped with their lives after their boat caught fire and rapidly sank. They had just reached their planned fishing grounds 32 kilometers offshore of the Old Head of Kinsale Peninsula in Southern Ireland when a fire caused by an electrical fault began in the boat's accommodation area. The crew issued a mayday and contacted the Royal Naval Lifeboat Institute requesting immediate assistance. The RNLI received the call at 01:45, and 12 minutes later, the all-weather Trent-class lifeboat from the nearby RNLI station at Cortmacsherry Harbour was underway to the scene. Meanwhile, the Irish Coast Guard airbase 50 kilometres away at Waterford scrambled its Sikorsky S-92 search and rescue helicopter with callsign Rescue 117 to assist. By this time, the fishing vessel was engulfed in flames, and the crew, who already had their life jackets on, were forced to abandon ship into their life raft. Ireland's Marine Rescue Coordination Centre took over management of the response by the various agencies involved. It promptly alerted all nearby marine traffic to the emergency. The offshore supply vessel MV Voss Pathfinder, the anchor handling vessel MV Maersk Maker, and a nearby Irish Navy offshore patrol vessel, George Bernard Shaw, callsign P64, all responded to the scene at full speed. Just after 02:20, the Voss Pathfinder located the life raft and took all four crew safely on board. The crew were confirmed to be uninjured and were soon afterwards transferred to the RNLI Cortmacsherry lifeboat. The crew of the Maersk Mako brought their ship in close to the casualty vessel and extinguished the fire using the ship's onboard firefighting systems. Unfortunately though, the fire damage proved to be too severe and the fishing vessel began to sink. The Navy ship George Bernard Shaw remained on scene and monitored the casualty vessel until it completely sank just before 0700 hours. The crew of the fishing vessel returned safely to shore with the RNLI. They were said to be extremely grateful to their rescuers and were anxious to return home to their families. Florida-based electric propulsion specialist Ingenuity Electric has built quite a revolutionary wakesurfing boat that I knew I had to feature here as soon as I saw it. The boat that you see here is a Super Air Nautique GS22 that Ingenuity calls the world's first 100% electric towboat. The GS22's petrol-powered motor has been swapped out for Ingenuity's unique all-electric drivetrain. It offers 124 kilowatt-hours worth of storage and can output over 200 kilowatts of peak power. The company says that this gives the boat 2 to 3 hours worth of runtime in typical usage scenarios. The battery pack is unique to Ingenuity and it includes what it describes as a quote, robust safety control system with actively monitored liquid cooling, unquote. Of course, the big hesitation that many buyers in this segment will have is with the time that it takes to recharge the boat's batteries. Well, Ingenuity says that if you connect the boat to an 80 kilowatt supercharger, it can be fully recharged and ready to go within 90 minutes. If you don't have a supercharger, you can expect a 10 hour recharge cycle using a shore power connection connected to its onboard charger, or a 4 hour wait time on a 25 kilowatt electric vehicle charger. If you can live with these drawbacks, then you're in for a treat because the boat runs nearly completely silently and generates zero maintenance. Since the drivetrain has so few moving parts, it's almost completely maintenance free. Ingenuity also has fully integrated the electric propulsion into the boat's helm systems. The company says that its advanced system will be able to receive over-the-air updates and will allow you to remotely monitor your boat systems via a mobile app. Nice! Starting from next month, Ingenuity invites all interested customers to head out to Lake Tahoe to experience skiing or surfing behind the electric Nautique GS22E4 themselves. The event is called the Ingenuity Experience and will run from June until August 2021. The cost per session is $2,900 and they can accommodate a maximum of 6 people. All COVID protocols will be observed. For more information and to book a session, visit ingenuityelectric.com. A few weeks ago, I featured a new sports fishing super yacht currently being built by Royal Heesman in the Netherlands. Well, this week Royal Heesman was in the news again, this time for a new sailing yacht that they've designed. That new yacht is the Apex 850, and if it's ever built, it'll be one of the five largest sailing yachts in the world. The design calls for a yacht designed in the sloop style, with an 85 meter long deck and a mast that is 107 meters high. That's taller than the Statue of Liberty and a third of the height of the Eiffel Tower. Impressive. Its designer, Malcolm McKeon, says that the Apex 850 will be able to reach speeds in excess of wind speed in most conditions, and thanks to her retractable keel and limited heel angle, it'll provide a high level of comfort, stability, and safety for everyone on board. The yacht will include everything you'd expect in a modern luxury yacht of this size, including hundreds of square meters of recreational space, fold-down balconies, a huge beach club, a gym, and even a 1,000-bottle wine cellar. Another highlight is that it includes 1,000 kilowatts of battery storage and a power generation capacity of 150 kilowatts under sail. The designer says that this will allow the yacht to cross oceans without the need for fuel whilst still operating all of the ship's normal systems, features, and luxuries. If you've got deep enough pockets, check out Royal Heesman's website for more info and to place your order. I have a question for you. What is blue and white and about to be stormed by ex-special forces operators? I'll tell you. A super yacht named Luna. Luna is a very fancy, very expensive, very big 115 meter super yacht that's at the center of a frankly hilarious game of legal cat and mouse being played out on the world stage. In the red corner is Farkad Akhmadov, current rich guy and former husband. His opponent in the blue corner is his ex-wife and aspiring rich girl Tatiana Akhmadova. The two of them have fought a long and acrimonious divorce battle for the last few years, and just like any good divorce drama, they can't agree on who gets what toys, leaving the courts to decide it for them. The battle for assets has jumped from one expensive toy such as helicopters and jets to another, and has finally reached the last castle, the jewel in the custody crown, the super yacht Luna. And now the chase is on to see who can claim final ownership of the yacht. Complicating matters is the fact that Tatiana has court judgment saying the boat is hers, and Farkad has obtained a judgment in Dubai stating that the boat is definitely his. Hence, a stalemate. According to news reports this week, Tatiana has had just about enough of waiting for Farkad to hand over the keys, and so she's done what any self-respecting aspiring rich girl would do. She's allegedly hired a team of ex-special forces members to retake the yacht by force. But not just any special forces. Several news outlets report that the men who have been hired are ex-special boat service or SBS operators. These guys are Britain's equivalent of the US Navy SEALs, but with one main difference. They're way better than the Navy SEALs in almost every respect. But that's a controversial story for another channel. Of course, most of this information has been gleaned from basically whispers and water cooler chatter, so we'll have to see what actually happens next. In the meantime, in a cunning offensive move, Luna has been moored next to the Sheikh of Dubai's own private yacht. So any attempt to take Luna will have to get past whatever security measures are in place for the Sheikh. And I don't know what those security arrangements are, but it's probably safe to assume that the answer is all of them. Watch the space to see how this juicy story develops. And now for my final story. We're heading south all the way down to Australia. The Australian government says that its new Antarctic supply ship, the RSV Nuyina, is in its final stages of commissioning and it's almost ready for delivery. The RSV Nuyina is the country's new icebreaker that will be responsible for resupplying its bases in the Antarctic whilst also carrying out scientific research and ferrying staff back and forth. The Nuyina replaces the outgoing Aurora Australis, which was launched in 1989 and has been in continuous service for the 32 years since then. In comparison to the Aurora Australis, however, the Nuyina is significantly bigger in every single way. It can carry much more cargo, much more fuel, and lots more people. Its performance statistics are quite spectacular. With its full crew of 32, it is designed to take on 14 meter plus wave heights and deal with wind speeds of up to hurricane force strength. It can cope with air temperatures ranging from minus 30 degrees Celsius up to 45 degrees Celsius. Celsius and operate in water temperatures ranging from minus 2 to 32 degrees Celsius. It's able to cruise at 12 knots and can break ice of up to 1.65 meters in thickness while traveling at a speed of 3 knots. With its enormous capacity for supplies and people, the Nuyina can support voyages for up to 90 days, including the ability to remain in the Antarctic for up to 80 days, whilst supporting up to 117 people on board with modern services, including a specialized medical facility. RSV Nuyina was built by Darman Shipyards in Romania. Construction began in May 2017 and it's now 98% complete. The only thing left on the delivery to-do list is its final harbor testing and its sea and ice trials. Those were delayed due to the pandemic, but will be happening soon, and the ship is scheduled for final delivery this year still. Well, that's a wrap for this week's news. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please remember to give it a like and consider subscribing if you haven't yet. For those of you who don't know, when I'm not making these videos, I'm a marketing copywriter specializing in working with the boating and marine industry. I offer professional blogs, email marketing, product descriptions, website content, and anything else you need to be written up. And for everything else, I collaborate with a fantastic team of media professionals. Contact me on my website at richardhagen.com. or via LinkedIn to set up a quick call. I'd love to hear from you. All of my details are in the description. Thanks a lot for watching, and I'll see you next week.